Notre Dame, with a historic tradition of excellence, welcomes you to the Jack Swarbrick Show, where we pursue all things Notre Dame athletics.
The Jack Swarbrick Show is brought to you by
Team Notre Dame partner Spirit, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Now, the host of the Jack Swarbrick Show, Jack Nolan, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Welcome, Irish fans, to this week's edition of the Jack Swarbrick Show. On this week's show, we'll talk with the Notre Dame women's basketball player who leads the ACC in assists, Lindsey Allen. And we'll also chat with the man who is holding down the number one single slot for the Notre Dame men's tennis team for the second straight year, Quentin Monahan. But first, here are your hosts, Notre Dame graduate student and captain of the 2015 Fighting Irish football team, Joe Schmidt, and Notre Dame vice president and director of athletics, Jack Swarbrick. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Jack. You know, beyond the stardom you're achieving on this show, when I walked in today, I walked into your next gig.
My next gig?
Yeah. Bengal bouts.
They're
practicing outside our studio right now.
One of my favorite events.
If ever there was a candidate for the Bengal bouts here on campus, you're freed now from the football prohibition against entering this event. So what do you say, Bengal bouts?
I was going to say that's an interesting lead-in right there. And you're trying to pin me against the wall, but no, I actually don't think I'm going to be able to do the Bengal bouts. I've got an MRI to 2 days from now, and I'm probably going to be getting some surgery on my left shoulder. So I don't think that Bengal bouts is in the immediate future. But I think it would be a blast, and I wanted to do it, but it's not going to happen. I don't think.
So just so we get some clarity here, but for your surgery, you would have done Bengal bouts.
And I'm still considering, like, if I can just put it in a sling and just kind of go one arm and just stick my head in there. It still sounds fun to me, but yeah. I don't know. I love the Bengal bouts and everything that they do. Raising money for charity. For all the right reasons, they're in there boxing, and I think that the guys that do it, they lead it, and they take it very, very seriously. And I don't really know of a program like it in the country. So I think it's incredibly unique, a great way for students to come together and form an even closer bond. And it's really fascinating to watch. It's guys that have never boxed before really just kind of duke it out in the ring, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it is for those for our listeners and viewers who may not be familiar with it. It is an amateur boxing tradition here at Notre Dame that does raise money for the missions and has a great history and involves men and women.
I was going to say, we have both sexes are in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an incredibly intense competition. Doesn't matter who's in the ring, and I think everybody's really trying to win. Actually, I think, haven't we had a couple professional boxing careers start from the Bengal or Baraka bouts?
We have.
Yeah,
We've had one. Zbikowski,
yeah.
Of course.
I was going to say, Zbikowski, yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Madison Square Garden. I know we've got a couple guys. I think Mike Lee was another one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
great tradition. You know, when I was here, football players did participate in that.
Sounds dangerous.
And it was it created some intense rivalries within the team, let me tell you.
I was going to say, I would not want to box a couple of the big guys on our team. It just, there's something about my little arms going against a Jerron Jones that just doesn't bode well for me in boxing.
That matchup in particular might not work to your advantage.
I don't know. I mean, I've gone after Jerron a couple times here, but it doesn't look good for me in a boxing realm. And Troy Nicholas and I used to always have conversations about who would win in boxing, and hopefully he doesn't watch the show, because yes, he would have won, but I don't know.
You never conceded that to
him.
No,
I never conceded that one to him.
Troy had a rough weekend, huh?
Yeah.
With the Cardinals. They were no match for Carolina.
No, I mean, I don't really think anybody understood truly how good the Panthers are, and I'm really looking forward to this Super Bowl. The matchup of the number one offense versus the number one defense, and all that kind of entails, along with Peyton Manning. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I used to love watching Keekly in college.
Oh my gosh.
Sometimes not so much. because he was playing so well.
But he had 30 tackles against us.
You could tell even then he was such a. He had such great instincts on the football field, and you've really seen that.
Yeah, and I think that this, it sounds Like maybe an exaggeration, but there's a possibility that that guy could go down as one of the greatest to ever play the linebacker position, maybe one of the greatest guys to ever play defense in the NFL. And I mean, you look at his college career, and I know that some of the older guys and I would joke about it, but he had 190 tackles, I think, in his last season at Boston College. And just to put that into perspective for the listeners and the viewers, Jalen Smith won the Buckus Award as the best collegiate linebacker. He had 115 tackles. This guy had 190 tackles.
Man.
I know. And that was in, what, 12 games? I can't even fathom that many tackles in a season. So,
of course, their offense helped.
Yeah.
Kept them on the field a lot.
I was going to say, yeah, they didn't have a very productive offense while he was there, but dang it, they had one of the most productive linebackers.
What a great player.
I have ever seen, though. Tell us a little bit what's going on in your life, though, Jack. What's going on over in the athletics department right now? Life of Jack for a day. Huh? How about that?
Well, I don't know about for a day, but winter's always an interesting time because you get you get a lot of crossover. So obviously the winter sports are in full go mode. They're playing a lot. There's a hockey game or a women's basketball game or a men's basketball game that you can always attend. But the spring sports are getting really close to starting, and they're in practice mode. And so those are going. And so it's a time of a lot of energy and activity here on campus. Last week, every night, I had some event to go to, and they were all great things because they involved doing something with student-athletes, like we have a steering committee here that involves student-athletes. It helps us make a lot of decisions, or just watching some great competition involving our teams, all three teams. It's great to have all three teams ranked in the top 25 in their sports. Men's basketball is 25, women's basketball is number 3, and hockey, after sweeping this week, is number 10.
There we go. How about men's hockey, man? They're coming on. What is it, 12 in a row? Right now, I think it's 13 in a row, without a loss.
You're trying to make me look bad because I can't come up with that number away?
I'm kind of guessing here. I'm pretty sure it's close to 12 or 13. I had one of the hockey guys make sure I got it right. So I'm hoping it's 13, but they're playing great hockey right now.
Yeah, they are. Getting contributions from a lot of different people. Especially interesting to see the freshmen emerge. And Jeff talked to us when he was on the show about the contributions the freshmen were starting to make. And Mario Lucia has gotten really hot recently. He's really been on fire. And that's the one dimension that hadn't quite appeared yet. And so they got a big one this weekend. They've got BC coming in.
I know.
We have an interesting situation where we do the home and home with BC. And in hockey, you typically go somewhere and play two games, as you know, in a weekend. But we go to BC for one, and they come here for one. And when we talk to Jeff, I think BC will be a little focused on this game, given the way we sort of stole that one at BC.
Well, the last time, for people that might not know, I think we scored 3 goals to come back and win 4-3 in the last 7 minutes of the game, which is – dang near unheard of in hockey.
Doesn't happen much in hockey, but I love that you brought among the things we can cover here and talk about, I love that you brought hockey back up because it helps keep us on track to get you in goal for that exercise we promised to do in videotape of you as a goaltender.
I ran into probably 10 of the hockey guys at breakfast on Sunday morning at a local spot, and I approached Mario about potentially launching some shots at me. I saw Cal too, and I told him that we'll get in goal and see how ridiculous I look out there. I'll just try to shimmy maybe and get in the way.
We gotta get this done before the surgery.
I gotta get on this. We got a limited amount of time here, man.
No, we really do. I gotta get on this. I'm glad to be reminded of it. we're talking about how well the teams are doing. We're going to have the leader of our women's basketball team on the show tonight and talk to her about that. The men have been playing so well. And they had a great performance after losing their leader, their floor leader, in the first 2 minutes of the game when Demetrius went down. Have you ever had a hamstring issue in your career?
Yeah.
And what's it like sort of coming back from that?
So hamstring injuries are really tricky. I had one early on in my career that was severe enough to pull you off the floor or off the field in my case, and you really just gotta have to manage them the right way, because if you do as much treatment as you can, but you still have to give it time And each hamstring injury is different in that each injury needs different amounts of time. So for Demetrius, we have, you know, it's great for him in that we have an outstanding training staff that understands him and how his body works, and they're going to be smart about getting him back. But really, you just need to be, you know, you need to be cognizant that there, you need to build strength back, make sure that you get the entire injury healed before you jump back on the court, because you don't want to have a repeat injury. And I feel like a lot of the time, you know, people will tweak a hamstring in practice, or they'll tweak something in the game, and they'll just try to continue to play through it, and that's when they'll do even more significant damage. So it's a good news for us that we have, you know, an amazing training staff here, and doctors that really understand the way that his body works.
When he's such an explosive athlete,
yeah.
He's remarkably explosive. That you're so right. You got to get that thing really healed, because the stress he puts it under, the way he plays the game, is you know, you don't want it lingering all year. Now the good news is when he went down,
yeah,
a Southern California freshman came in.
How about Pfluger?
And made a huge impact.
I know. I thought this the way that the team responded was phenomenal. You know, I was at the game and it was you know, he was on the sidelines, you know, and he was sitting there with his hamstring messed up, and it was like the team just, you know, was like, all right, you know, we got you, man. Like, we're gonna pick you up and we're gonna play our butts off. And really, you know, they started the second half. It was a close game, and they went on a ridiculous run to just put them away. And that kind of instinct on the team right now was just so encouraging to see. You know, especially, you know, I've been on teams where, you know, you lose a leader and you know, it can kind of go both ways. So to see them be resilient and to put away, you know, a pesky BC team that really wanted to show that they could play with us was great. It was great for me.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was interesting to, you know, in that situation, you turn to Steve Vestori and you say, okay, you're not coming off the floor. You're the point guard in an important ACC game. And he was pretty flawless.
Yeah, no, he was unbelievable. I mean, I think he's so underrated in that he handles the ball so well. You know, he gets to the basket, he hits jump shots, he spots up, you know, he sees the floor and he defends. It's like, what does the guy not do? What, like, and I know we had him on, we were like, what do we got to do to get you know, recognized? But I mean, I thought he had an incredible game. You know, you hit on Pfluger. Bonzi has been on fire.
That's what happens when you come on this show.
I was going to say, we just rub off on him, and we give him a little bit of that the Jack Swarbrick special sauce to go win some games for us here. So,
well, let's take a break and get going with our guests. As we close out, I want you to know that the little money I had, I did get out of equities once I found out the impact you were having in the market last week. So we'll be back in a minute.
Notre Dame football is on WLS.
AM 890.
By the time most of you watch or listen to this show, our first guest will have done something no other player in the history of Notre Dame women's basketball has ever done. Start her 98th consecutive game, a milestone Lindsey Allen will or did achieve on Thursday night at Georgia Tech. But Allen brings much more to the floor than just longevity and durability. She is Notre Dame's floor leader and leads the ACC in assists and assist-to-turnover ratio while averaging just under 9 points per game. Off the court, Lindsey is a management consulting major in the Mendoza College of Business and a participant in the Rosenthal Leadership Academy. We are pleased Lindsey has been able to carve out some time in her busy schedule to visit the Jack Swarbrick Show today.
Lindsey, thanks for being here. I feel like we should knock on wood or something. I mean, if you turn an ankle getting on the bus after that introduction, I'm going to feel like the show is to blame.
I was going to say, we got to clear the room and make sure, John, we got to move you at least for sure. This is it's a dangerous place in here. We got to get everything out of the way. But good to have you on here.
Glad to be here.
So it's a good place to start. I mean, the durability required, sort of everything you have to do to make it through a season and never miss a game. You know,
not gonna say 21 games is hard enough for this guy.
Had some of that's luck, I know, but a lot of it's got to be the way you approach getting ready and preparing yourself. How do you do that?
Yeah, part of it, like you said, is just being fortunate and just being lucky and not having any kind of freakish injuries or things like that. And just part of it is just with the help of Ann, our athletic trainer, and Craig, our strength and conditioning coach, kind of just helping us and making sure we're recovering well after games and that we're stretching, we're foam rolling, we're getting the ice baths, and that we're watching our nutrition to make sure we're fueling our bodies correctly for games and for practices.
part of that longevity is you came in here and you started right away, which to me is absolutely mind-boggling, especially at a place like Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. How did you come in here right off the bat and just seem to fit right into the flow and the scheme that Coach McGraw has, and you really just became a leader from the start?
I think I just gained the respect of the seniors that we had that year, and Kayla and Natalie and Ariel, and I think that they respected my game and they had confidence in me from the start, and that definitely helped me coming in as a freshman. And, you know, a little bit nervous, not really knowing what to expect from that experience, but I was very fortunate to have them lead me during those years, and it's definitely helped me up to now.
Joe sort of alluded to it in his question, but you're not playing for any coach. You're playing for a coach who's pretty demanding when it comes to the point guard, right? She knows a little bit about it, and it's really the extension of her on the floor. So what's the relationship like between the point guard and Coach McGraw?
Our relationship is great. I think it's definitely helpful that she's played the position before and that she really knows what it takes to be a great point guard, because she was one in her years. And I think that we're able to see things that other players on the team don't see, and we're able to kind of have that connection and able to kind of relate to each other more than any other player would.
You know, something that's crazy about, playing at Notre Dame is you guys, a lot of the time you guys go out there and you're expected to win. You're expected to dominate. As a point guard and kind of being the leader on the floor, obviously a captain as well, how do you go into each one of these games with very worthy opponents and continue to dominate mm-hmm. for the last, 2 years you've been here?
I think coming in, you just have an established culture and established tradition of success, and I think that comes in with every single class that comes in, and coach really recruits to that kind of player that wants to be better and wants to kind of challenge themselves night in and night out. And the ACC is a great conference with many, many, many great teams, and so I think that we are very competitive with each other in practice, and that's kind of where it starts, and then it carries over into games and it carries over into different seasons.
You hit a little bit on culture there. How have you tried to input your own touch on the culture here at Notre Dame, and maybe little things you've tried to do over your last 2-3 years?
I think my main thing as a point guard is kind of being like a calming presence on the court and someone that we can rely on night in and night out to do my job. And so I try to work hard in practice, kind of set that example, but also be there to be that vocal leader and kind of challenge my teammates when I feel like we're not giving our best effort.
You have sort of, from my perspective, having watched you closely for 4 years, you have sort of a twin on the men's basketball team. You and Steve Vastoria, no facial expression during a game, no demonstration of emotion, but you're both just killers. And the bigger the game, the more you see that evident. Do you work hard to sort of keep that absolutely level demeanor when you're playing?
No, not really. I think it's just part of my personality. I think I've grown up that way. My parents are kind of the same way. We don't really get riled up by many things. And it's just kind of keeping that flat composure during the games and not getting too high, too low, because things change so quickly in every single game. And so I think it's important for us to kind of keep that same composure throughout the game.
But something else is going on underneath the surface, right? Because you are one heck of a competitor.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to kind of keep it all in. And I think that we have teammates who are very passionate and those who wear their hearts on their sleeves. And I think that's great because we definitely need both sides of the equation. But I feel like sometimes you kind of have to calm the team down a little bit and make sure we're still focusing in on what we need to do to get the job done.
Since you've came here as a freshman, obviously you started right away, but how have you felt your games kind of developed from then to now, and really maybe some areas you feel like you want to work on, continue to work on in your development here?
I think just playing the college game, it's so much faster, so much quicker. So I think my conditioning's definitely gotten better, where I'm able to play extended minutes at a time and not really feel that tired. And that's a credit to our strength and conditioning coach, Craig. And I also think that just being around the team and kind of just learning the pace of the college game is definitely helped for sure. And I'm kind of picking my spots and knowing when to attack and when to kind of pull up for a jump shot. And so I think just continue to work on my jump shot, continue to work on my three-point shot and attacking the basket and getting to the free throw line more.
You're the leader of the team, of course, in so many ways. But, man, we got guards. There are a lot of guards and some really talented young guards.
Yep.
What have you done? Because they both contributed. Allie's hurt, but the other two, of course, making such big contributions to the team this year. How have you helped bring them into the program?
Yeah, they're two really talented guards, and I think they came in as high school All-Americans, and so they have that confidence and they have that talent, and they kind of have that trait where they're really hard on themselves, and so it's kind of just encouraging them more and instilling confidence in them when they mess up, because they're new to the college game, so they're not really sure of how the pace is going to go at times, and when's a good shot, when's a bad shot. So just kind of teaching them the ways and kind of instilling confidence in them when they get down on themselves is really key for them right now.
Now, the other end of the spectrum, you have responsibility for feeding one of the best post players in the country, a real force on this team.
Yeah.
How do you sort of approach the game from that perspective? Because you want to get her you want to get Brianna involved.
Yeah, I think it's tough. We have so many talented players on this team, and anyone can have a career night any night. And so I think it's just kind of balancing what we're trying to do in that game and what our game plan is. If we need to go in the post, then that's what we're going to do. We're going to feed Bri. We're going to feed Kat. But I think if we need to kind of attack the basket more with our guards, then any guard is ready to do that. I think it's kind of balancing who has a high hand at the time.
What are you looking for out of this team between now and the tournament, really, or in the ACC, in the end of the ACC, I guess, in order to improve enough to be where you're comfortable playing the best basketball at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think we've grown so much as a team from the beginning of the season to how we have confidence in each other and how our chemistry has gotten so much better since, you know, just playing more games with each other. And I feel like we just need to kind of tune, kind of just approach it a little differently and just build consistent effort night in and night out and making sure we're still focused on the little things and kind of just fine-tuning the little things.
One of the differences I see in this year's team is the defensive success. The last two opponents, for example, shot season lows against you. Mm-hmm. You guys are really able to dial that up. Has that been an area of focus for the team this year?
Yeah, it's always an area of focus for Coach. You know, she expects the best out of us, and we try to give her that best effort every night. And so it definitely helps with having Bri in the post down there. She's really long, 6'3", long arms, can leap out of the building. And so whenever we might get beat off the dribble or anything like that, we have confidence in our back line to help us out and just our rotation, which we've been working on in practice a lot. And so it's just us focusing on defense. And we've been challenged by Coach a lot in practice, and we responded really well.
I want to look back at the UConn game. Obviously, we're 19-1. We're having an incredible year. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys were without, you know, a post presence in that game. Yeah. And really, what can you take away, although you will have another player back for the next time you see a team like that, what can you take away from that experience as a learning point for the rest of the year?
I think the main thing we took away from that is that we could compete with anyone in the country. And we saw that night. I don't think anyone was expecting us to get within 25 of that team, especially on their home court. And so we came out there and had fun, played loose. The pressure wasn't on us. It was on them. And so we found that the freshmen really came up huge for us. And they really played with a lot of confidence in that early game in December. And we kind of knew that if we give our best effort and just kind of fine-tune, make sure we're not turning the ball over as much, things like that, I think we could play with anyone in the country and ultimately win a national championship.
Now, in some ways, I'm sure it seems like a long time ago, and in others, like the blink of an eye. But as we approach a signing day in another sport, reflect back on me about making the decision to come to Notre Dame. So you're from Maryland.
Yep.
You had offers all over the country. What attracted you to this place?
I think the main thing that attracted me was just the combination of academics and athletics. I think that's really, really what I was really looking for in the school when I first was, you know, being recruited by schools and kind of visiting. And then when I came to visit here and I met Coach McGraw, I met my former teammates from a few years ago, I kind of got that feeling that this was the right place to be. You know, I was walking on campus one night and I kind of got that feeling, you know, that feeling you get where, you know, this is the school for you and, you know, this is where you should go. I'm sure Joe understands. Yeah. But yeah, I just kind of got that feeling where, you know, this is the perfect situation for me. And thankfully it was.
Joe came out of the womb with it. That was that's the one difference.
Let me go to Notre Dame. Just let me hear. Talking a little bit about your Notre Dame experience, what's been, you know, really – some highlights of your 3 years here. Maybe some things you like to do off the court. You know, maybe in the classroom, a particular class, the Rosenthal Leadership Academy with me, obviously.
Yeah, for a semester.
Yes. So you got those highlights.
I think on the court, well, kind of on the court and off the court, just the opportunities I've gotten to travel to different places because of the Notre Dame's basketball team. The summer before my freshman year here, we got to go to London and Spain and Barcelona, Madrid, all those different places just because of basketball. So that was really cool. And we're always traveling for games to different states because of the ACC, because of our non-conference schedule. schedule. And then just the dorm experience that you get. I mean, you come here as a freshman, not really know what to expect. You're nervous. You're away from your family. And then you come here, and it's just a different, your second family. They welcome you with open arms. They're really nice, really kind, and they just want to see you succeed here. And that's probably the most important thing for me.
Well, we love when our teams get to go to exotic places and travel as part of their experience. But I'm hoping you just drive down Highway 31 in a couple of months to Indianapolis for the Final Four. Good luck the rest of the season. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Good luck.
We'll be back in a minute.
Hi there. Have a terrific weekend. Back Monday morning with the latest on the Iowa Hawkeye. No, it's not a virus, just politics. John Howell, WLS, AM 890.
Quentin Monahan is a senior on the Irish men's tennis team, now in his second year as the team's number one singles player. But Quentin is not just the top singles player in the Irish team. Last season, he advanced to the semifinals of the NCAA Singles Championship and finished the season ranked 7th in the nation. This season, he is partnering with fellow senior Alex Lawson at number one doubles, and the duo currently ranks 6th in the nation. We welcome Quentin to this week's edition of the Jack Swarbrick Show.
Quentin, thanks so much for being with us. Really appreciate it. The obvious question coming off that introduction is, which do you prefer, singles or doubles?
I think I still prefer singles, but I've never had success in doubles like this year, and it's been a lot of fun playing with Alex. Doubles is pretty quick and a lot of energy, so it's definitely fun, but I think singles I still prefer.
What makes a double partnership work? Why do you two guys click?
I think, you know, our game styles match pretty well. You know, I am a little more consistent, and he's got a lot of power, so we complement each other pretty well. But then personality-wise, we both bring a lot of energy, and I think it's, you know, the doubles point goes so fast. It's just the first one to six, so it's kind of like whoever's coming out there with the most energy and just influencing the match positively, and I think Alex does an incredible job of that.
Being the number one guy for singles and then also doing the number one doubles, how do you really manage, you know, your energy level for both? I'm just curious if it's possible to can you give equal energy to both, or do you have to kind of focus on, all right, the team needs me to win here, for this match to be successful?
Yeah, and that's one thing I had to learn. I think it's like something that goes through your head, but at the end of the day, you got to give everything into singles and doubles. I think the competition is too tough just to sort of like take, you know, doubles lightly and focus on singles. I just don't think you'll get away with that. I mean, there's not a huge secret. Ultimately, you just got to kind of put it all on the line, and you know, you might suffer a little bit in the singles and be a little tired, but you just got to get through it. It's hard to just not give your best, because I don't really think you'll be that successful.
Right. What makes a good doubles player? Because obviously you had tremendous success as a singles player last year, and I think you talked a little bit about how you're consistent. And Lawson has power.
Yeah.
But what really makes a great doubles player?
I think someone with pretty good instincts at the net, just has a good feel for the game. The points are faster, so I don't know, the ability to serve well, to return well. It's a lot of like quick points, so it's just the little things that matter. Like you don't get to like play a long point where you're hitting a bunch of balls. So if you're able to serve and return well, and then finish balls at the net, then I think that helps the most.
I think it also helps be a little crazy.
Yeah.
Having watched doubles, you're right on that net. That thing's coming a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
You look like a lacrosse goalie,
right.
Trying to protect yourself.
Exactly.
So you must have great reflexes.
Yeah, I think playing a bunch over the years, they're not bad. But, yeah, I think Alex is the better hands of us. But, yeah, we both have good reflexes.
I know I'm for sure getting hit with a ball if I'm up there. There's no chance of surviving.
Everyone gets hit.
I always love that when it happens in a match and the other side sort of apologizes.
Yeah.
Right? It's the ethics of the sport. But I'm thinking, well, you were standing there. You should have got hit. I remember very distinctly sitting in ACC meetings last year, monitoring your progress on my cell phone as you marched through the NCAA tournament. You got so hot and had such a great run there. What was that experience like?
That was incredible. You know, I had a good year leading up to it, but you never know going into the tournament because every player is extremely good. And, you know, I had a really tough match first round, was able to get through it, picked up some momentum, and then just played better and better every match. I don't know, it's probably the most fun week I've had in my life, you know, representing Notre Dame and just putting everything out there on the biggest stage in college tennis. So, yeah, that was a blast.
I doubt the listeners at home, at least in the majority, are familiar with the schedule that is collegiate tennis.
Yeah.
Can you kind of fill in, you know, to the layman, what goes on between now and the end of the year and really leading up to this point as well, just so people can get an understanding of where you are in your season and what you're looking forward to?
Yeah. Well, so there's a fall season as well, and that's all individual tournaments. But then we started with Michigan State last weekend or 2 weekends ago, and then we play non-conference until early March, and then we're playing in a full ACC schedule where we go Friday, Sunday. I think there's like 12 or 13 teams, and then conclude with the ACC tournament in April, and then NCAA team tournament in beginning of May, and then after that is the individual tournament.
So you have all these individual tournaments in the fall season, and then you kind of build up to the end. From a training standpoint, how do you kind of build into one and then you build into the other, or is there a way to kind of taper at the right moments?
Yeah. The fall, we get worked pretty hard. Our fitness coach, Jeff, will run us and lift us pretty tough. And even if we have tournaments, he knows is our the time to really work us. But in the spring, we taper down and just kind of get ready to play matches. And we just want to be fresh and compete at our highest level.
Well, we know from the talking before we came on the air, your Jersey roots. But give us some other insights into the non-tennis side of your life. What's the dorm? What's the major? What do you like to do?
I was in Stanford Hall. I'm a senior now, so I live in Irish Row. I've lived with a tennis guy ever since I've gotten to choose. I'm a management consulting major. Not sure what I'm going to do with that yet. I think I might try and play professionally for a couple years. Outside of tennis, I was born in and used to live in Philly, so a pretty big Philly sports fan. Mm. Follow them pretty closely.
You've had better years.
Yeah, tough year. But I don't know. Besides that, not much. Besides tennis.
What school. What would be the professional path from here for you? How do you get into that world?
Yeah, it'll be tough starting out. It's you got to work your way up. You start with low level tournaments where there's very little prize money, and hopefully you keep progressing and keep getting better. So then you start winning those tournaments, and then you go to a higher level tournament. And then eventually, hopefully, you work your way into the slams, like the Australian Open's going on right now.
Right.
But yeah, you all be sort of grinding in India and China or wherever I feel is easiest to play, just so I can kind of graduate into the higher level tournaments.
The Australia Open is my favorite tournament of the year because I'm hopelessly nocturnal. and so to turn on the television at 2 a.m. and be watching Djokovic play I love that. It's
right.
Marvelous.
Yeah.
So
that's not good. This, the insomnia here. We got to get this solved, man. I read a really interesting thing, by the way, that I had to ask you about.
Yeah.
In your bio, it says that you were awarded the key to your high school.
Yeah.
And I just have no idea what that even means. Can you just go anywhere? Like, could you?
It was actually for middle school.
And, oh, it was middle school.
Yeah, but I don't know. The principal gave me this award called the key, and
was it an actual key? Like,
yeah, it was like, but it was not a key to anything. But this one time in seventh grade, someone dropped $20 on the floor, and instead of keeping it, I turned it into the principal's office, and. They thought that was like a heroic act for some reason, and so I guess the award was for like trust and being a good person. But my mom was like so proud, and she told everyone, and I haven't thought about it since you mentioned it.
You dug deep into the bio,
man. I was digging deep, man. Yeah. I mean, when I came over a key to the school. That's a huge. That's got to be a huge deal. But right. I mean,
I don't think it's.
Can you still go back and like? You know, you like
got
wear
special
the
privileges.
You wear the key around your neck, and you're like big man on middle school campus. Have you been back?
Just to pick up my little brother, but not inside.
I was gonna say you should wear the key every time you go.
I know. Yeah.
Wonder what the principal did with the 20.
That's an even better question. I got to do some more research here.
Well, look forward in this season for us? You know, what do you guys have to work on? How do you feel the team's developing? Who are the key contributors? What can we look forward to?
I mean, I can honestly say it's the hardest working team I've been on in my 4 years. You know, the guys are putting a lot of work in, and I think we're starting to build some confidence. We have some inexperienced players, and, you know, it just will take some matches for them to get comfortable in the big pressure moments. But I think if we just stick to the process and continue to get better every day like we are, then we could do some big things in the ACC and hopefully surprise some people.
Who are the powers in the ACC?
Virginia's always I think they've won like 8 or 10 straight AC championships, so they're always top five. Won the national championship 2 years ago. UNC, Duke, I mean, we were fourth like 2 years ago, so it's usually UVA, Duke, and UNC.
Younger guys on this team now, you know, you're kind of phasing out of the program after this year. You know, looking at the younger ranks, who's somebody that the, you know, the Irish faithful can be excited about? You know, maybe stepping up later this year and really moving into a leadership role once you're gone. You can name a couple guys.
I think we have a really strong freshman class this year. Two guys that stick out are Grayson Brodus and Alex Lebedev. Really passionate about tennis. They're always at the courts, always hitting in the morning, getting extra work in. You know, really dedicated to being good at the sport, and you know, ultimately it's about the hours you put in on the practice court, and they really do that. So I'd look for big careers from them going forward.
And you talk about putting the hours in on the court. What's like the average workload for a men's tennis player at the University of Notre Dame?
Our practices are about 2.5 hours. And then I'd say if you're not getting extra work in at least like 3-4 times a week, you're probably just not doing enough. So you're looking at, you know, close to 4-hour days. I mean, we're fortunate to have three incredible coaches and so many guys to hit with that if you want to be good, then, you know, you have the tools and capabilities to do it here. So I think if you're putting in 3-4 hour work days, then you're doing a good job.
And I watched an interview recently with it's an old interview of Agassi, and he's talking about how he would plan out his like his returns. I'm sure you've watched this as a tennis guy, but I'm curious can you watch film of opposing players and understand the way in which to return is best, or kind of plan out your game so that you can play them before you play them. I'm not sure how that works in tennis.
No, scouting reports are a huge part of the game. A lot of guys have success just because of matchups. You know, they're a tough guy to play, and it's hard for the guy to, you know, there aren't many answers. But we don't necessarily watch film, but we've seen most players enough that, you know, we know is there a side that could break down forehand or backhand, or is there a pattern that he doesn't like, or does he not like to get low, so should you slice? Just little things like that that the coaches do a good job of picking up on.
Well, we wish you the best of luck in the remainder of this season and in everything that follows it. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
It. Yeah.
We'll be back in a minute.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
The Fighting Irish play here. WLS.
AM 890.
We are just about out of time, so here to wrap things up are your hosts, Jack and Joe.
Joe, this show has become so big, they're taking us on the road.
On the road.
Yeah.
We're loading up ND1. Where are we going, Jack?
Well, we're at least going across the parking lot.
Hey, that's a start. It's a start for us.
Next week for National Signing Day, special edition. We'll go over to the Goog if they'll let us in.
Yeah.
And
I think I still have access.
And cover the events of the day. That'll be fun.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. I think we got some really, great content, you know, for the viewers and the listeners, and hopefully have a lot of fun over there. And maybe Coach Elston will finally join us.
I think it's
is it out of the equation?
I believe when I see it. You know, we've had so much trouble getting Coach Elson on this show. Maybe we'll trap him in there.
I was going to say, I've already thrown his name out in the into this space, so hopefully that gives us some good luck.
We'll shame him into it. Joe, another great show. Great to be with you, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week, Jack.
Go Irish.
Go Irish.
This has been the Jack Swarbrick Show, brought to you by Team Notre Dame Partners, Sprint, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Listen this time every week for everything Notre Dame Athletics, the Jack Swarbrick Show, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.